I'm Vance S. West from TrinityScience.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
Just when you thought it was safe, make that late night booty call.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
Oh. Oh.
www.drunkendialing.com.
Good night. Say good night. Say good night, dummy.
I've been down, cascading in blue without a sound. Now I'm trading my black feathers for a crown. So feed me milk and honey, lay me down, lay me down. Look around.
Mothmanlives.com and co-author of Mothman Facts Behind the Legend, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Ghostly
specifically our nose in the world's business.
What happened to your journalistic responsibility?
What do you mean journalistic responsibility? I talk about aliens for crying out loud.
Yeah? And what do you think aliens are?
Why is talking about this kind of stuff?
Aliens'
responsibility is usually holding the truth back. I'm trying to bring it back out to people and let them see these things.
There you go.
I think we got one vote on your side, Clyde.
What are you talking about?
Well, you do. A lot of people are on my side, I think.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Football game or something.
Well, hey, you know, it's not bad because if it stays this score, if nobody actually scores, then
you're going to be Mr. Luke.
You have 4 seconds now.
4 seconds left, and if it stays at this score, I'll be really, really happy.
I'll be happy for you because you're taking us out to dinner. Right?
We're going out to dinner.
No. There's too much pizza up there.
Yeah. But you guys, we are back indeed. I am Doug.
And I am Karma.
I'm Will.
Yeah, Will's on a mic now, and he is also in the chat room. So this is Ghostly Talk. If you go to www.ghostlytalk.com, or if you go to pioneer.rolo.net, you can join the chat rooms in the text chat link that's there. And you can get in the chat rooms with some really cool people. We're talking about, of course, the Super Bowl in the chat rooms. They're talking about Heidi Hollis and her trip to... She went to Israel.
Israel and then Egypt.
Egypt and...
Italy.
And Heidi Hollis in general, of course, is the alienadvice.com lady. So they're talking about UFOs. So they're talking about all kinds of cool stuff in the chat rooms. We're live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Pioneer, pioneer.rolo.net. And if you're listening to this at any other time, it's an archive, but it's just as valid. And most people end up listening to archives. They don't listen live. So it works out for our bandwidth anyway. I wish to thank everybody for listening. So we're back with Heidi Hollis. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you, guys.
I was going to talk, because we were chit-chatting a little bit on the break there as Scott was escaping to go to his night job.
Reluctantly.
Yeah, reluctantly, because he wanted to talk more with you, you know. We were talking about shadow people,
mm-hmm.
right? So let's talk a little bit about shadow people, because I had seen the one once, and we've talked about the shadow person, who looks exactly, the one I saw looks exactly like one of the drawings on Alien Advice. And so you said you had some information on shadow people.
Oh, God, yeah. The letters just keep pouring in regards to people spotting the shadow people and what they're doing when they're seeing them. And, I mean, it gets creepier and creepier. And actually, there's a secret project I'm working on that I won't be able to talk about just yet in regards to them because there's a new phenomenon going on that is truly, truly bizarre. So that will have to be a future show, and, I mean, it will creep you out to the highest extent.
Are the shadow people, these reports are increasing in number and volume, though, right?
Yes, they are. And actually, I wanted to share some of the stories that I'm getting, some of the letters that I'm getting from people.
Oh, excellent.
What's that?
Excellent.
I like stories.
I like that idea.
And the website, it's not on Alien Advice where the pictures are. It's actually on my UFOTU.com site, which is the section of it is called shadows.ufo, the number 2 and the letter U.com. And there's a lot of pictures on there and drawings of them. All right, I've got a letter here. This one is, this one's a shorter story. This one is pretty interesting. And this one says, Heidi, a few years ago or so, I had an experience of seeing a shadow man. I was in the shower late at night and had this creepy feeling all of a sudden that someone was watching me. I looked over towards the window and saw the figure of a man with gleaming, bright red eyes staring at me. I just stood there, staring at it, while it stared back at me, and after a while, it finally disappeared. Not too long ago, after that, I had a dream that I was in the shower, and the shower had a see-through door. And I was just looking through the door when I saw the shadow man that I'd seen in the window, except I didn't see red eyes this time. Here behind me and creeping towards me, he held a knife. Then he stabbed me with it and killed me. I know that a shadow person can cause harm to you physically by moving you or, in some cases, rape. But can they kill you in dreams or reality? And the thing is, you say that most times people feeling depressed attracts them, but when I was in the shower that night, I didn't feel depressed. Now, I have heard of people, I shouldn't say it's not that common, but I have heard of a lot of people that have had shadow people attacking them, and not with a knife, more or less they usually jump on people while they're sleeping and choke them. That seems to be the biggest thing that I'm hearing about, but I hadn't heard of any knife-wielding shadow people because it just seems unnecessary for them to do that. But I don't know. This one was a little bit different to have seen it in real life and then to dream about it exactly, but this time to have the shadow person, you know.
Well, my gut instinct on that is that, the first one is probably as real as the one that I had seen. The dream, I think, might have played upon that person's fears or doubts or questions about, you know, the shadow people, that kind of thing. And it might have been just a dream kind of thing. The subconscious builds it up.
Exactly. That is true. I think when people see something that they've never seen before, I mean, it sticks with you for a bit. And, I mean, heck yeah, you might dream about it.
Okay, I know that you guys have probably talked about shadow people before, but for people like me and people out there that might not know, a shadow person, explain it. I know exactly, from what you had just told me, it's like an image or like a person that you kind of see, but is it like a past, a spirit that once lived, or is it of animal, or is it alien? I mean, can it be all of the above, or... Or is it really complex?
Or is it, what's that?
Or is it like something that you think of in your head and that's what it is?
You know, there is a debate out there amongst people who seem to believe that shadow people are the shadows of a ghost or, you know, something that's floating in your eye or on your peripheral vision and things like that. From my experience, as far as the shadow people are concerned, I had never heard of anybody speak of them before. Even when I called them shadow people myself, and even when I wrote my book on the shadow people, and what I related them to, I have seen ghosts before. I've experienced ghosts, I've seen aliens, and I've experienced aliens. These things that I was experiencing didn't feel anything like a ghost or an alien. What had happened in my case, and what led me to understand more about shadow people and what they are, I had actually experienced seeing gray alien beings coming into my apartment and me waking up, getting rid of them in any way, shape, or form that I could. And it was odd when I was really successful in being able to get rid of these grays and stuff. I started having these experiences with these big black shapes. And I'm like, you know, I just couldn't figure, you know, what the heck was going on. The biggest apparition of these shadow people that I saw, because they come in different forms, were shadow spiders. And I mean, like, I'm sleeping in bed at night and something drops from the ceiling and hits my bed so hard it shakes me awake, and to wake up and see a giant spider, you know, the size of my thigh, you know, running across the bed. And I mean, I'm like wide awake and I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, what the heck is that? And I couldn't understand, you know, I'm just like, what's the relation between, you know, the aliens go away and I'm seeing these shadow creatures? Well, it took some time, but I started having more positive experience with with more positive type alien beings, and along with one of my best friends, and she and I discovered that, I mean, because she was also witnessing the shadow people and everything when we became roommates in college, and she and I discovered through the communicating with this more positive type alien being that these shadow things that I was seeing and that she was seeing, they were actually the boss of these other more negative alien beings that were harassing us. And, you know, it's one thing to, you know, to witness something yourself and just not, you know, not fully understand it, but to have some kind of other entity telling you and explaining to you, you know, what's going on. It was really kind of mind-blowing, but, you know, I could sense, you know, when I see a ghost, that it's a ghost. Sometimes it's just like an imprint left in time or something. Like, there's no thought process behind it of the ghost sometimes that I've seen. The aliens, sometimes they're just like little robotic things. But when it came to the shadows, they felt so evil. I can't even tell you. It's like the first one I ever saw, I mean, it felt like it just wanted to lunge from my throat and just rip it out. Terrible. So that's the shadow people.
Well, the shadow person that I had seen was more of a, I don't think it expected us to see it, and it didn't, I think it was there, and I know it was there. But
it was like, oh no, you see
it,
me.
It was watching it, but then, yeah, because the person who, let's put quotes around it, lost my initial video camera, had a 1 million candle power, like, flashlight beam thing, you know?
Spotlight.
And we got out of a minivan and we started walking towards, this was at Savage House, we started walking towards the back, and he hits the spotlight on, and it illuminates this, you know, grand sweeping area of the backyard, which was overgrown in weeds, and there was this shadow figure right there in the middle of the beam, and it ran. I mean, really fast. We startled it as much as it startled us, and it ran away. And I know it was physical, even though it was absolutely black. I mean, it didn't have red eyes or anything, but it was absolutely, totally black, 100%, like it was soaking up any available light. There was just no light where it was, and it, even though it was in the middle of a beam, you know, a million candle power beam. And it was running from my left to right as I was facing it. And it ran, and I heard branches breaking as it was running. So I know that it was a physical thing. So what I saw was this physical being. But I didn't get any evilness or anything out of it because I think we startled each other.
Right.
I think it was watching us, and it was wanting to know what we were doing.
It didn't have anything schemed. Yeah.
Yeah, but it didn't plan on being illuminated just like that, you know, with a million candle power beam, and we startled it as much as it startled us, and then it ran away. So I didn't have time to, like, it didn't have intentions or anything at us at the moment, because by the time we saw it, it knew we were seeing it, and it ran away.
I was going to say, I'm so glad that I asked about the shadow people, because you hear about the word shadow people all the time, but it could be so easily just put in the category of
ghosts,
like ghosts
or something, and it's not. They're,
and
these
it's
different.
Something different. And
they are different.
Because I have seen a ghost. I've seen two ghosts before.
Yes, you have.
But
you've
the things that I've seen, yeah, I've talked about plenty of times, but the things that I see off the corner of my eyes are just like little, like something moving. And I don't know if that's just like a spirit that I haven't seen or hasn't came in front of me. Or what, but the thing that you brought up, Heidi, about people saying that sometimes shadow people, when people are sleeping, they feel them on top of them, possibly choking them.
Right.
I don't get that. What I get is I have the feeling that something is laying on my chest, and I cannot breathe. And when I wake up, I'm freaked out, and I've asked people about it. And some of older people believe in the wife tale that, it's, you know, you have a witch on your back is what it's called.
Okay.
But it's, yeah, it's just like this heavy weight, and it feels like, and people have told me that's like what a heart attack feels like, and it freaks me out.
Yeah.
Because, like, a lot of stuff happens when I sleep. I just feel like I'm just like a little vulnerable magnet. And I that's how I feel. I feel so vulnerable. And that's why I don't sleep at night. I mean, because of, like, a schedule that I'm used to, but I'm afraid to sleep at night. Because it seems like as soon as that sun comes up, I'm okay. So I go right to sleep when the sun comes up. I feel safe. It's like my big night light.
Well, it's because things do live in the dark. You know?
They do.
And I didn't think nothing of it until I started doing Ghostly Talk. And I do blame Ghostly Talk because this didn't happen to me before. I felt something weird, but then after I did Ghostly Talk, that's when I started seeing stuff.
When you understood that there's things that you can't see going on?
Well, I understood that they're there. I didn't know I could see them, and it took me by kind of like what you're saying about how, like, people that, you know, don't really care to, and then they see it, you know, and then, like, people who don't play the lottery and they win.
Right, yeah.
It's like that.
It's like, I bought one ticket once and won, yeah.
But now that I am a little bit more educated on the matter, like things to do, protection prayers, I'm getting a little bit, like, not as uneasy about it anymore.
Good, good. I hope you're learning. So, yeah, shadow people. So what do you think about this, the letter Heidi wrote? The person had seen a shadow figure, the classic one with the red eyes and the, you know.
I think it's exactly what you think.
And then had a dream later about it, but it actually harmed him or her in the dream. Do you think it was more psychological play?
I think exactly what you had said, that she probably knew a little bit about the shadow people, heard maybe that they could hurt you, and then when she fell asleep, she dreamt of it, and it was going to knife her.
I'm thinking that might be the explanation there. It could also be that she does need to watch out for that. I mean, it might have been a warning from her subconscious.
Right.
Or his or her, because I don't know.
Yeah.
But from the subconscious of the dreamer, it might be a warning. Hey, watch out, pay attention, protect yourself. And I'm all for that. I am all for protecting yourself and making sure you're in control of your environment.
And that's important. Excuse me. That's important before you start modeling. And I know I found this out the hard way. You need to...
Yes,
get educated before, because it's not like when you're in high school playing around with the Ouija board. You know, I mean, have to protect yourself.
Well, to me, I think these are real entities.
The
shadow people are real. I think ghosts are real. I think that these are real things. Scientifically, we can't prove them at the moment. But I think that they're there, and therefore they have, you know, rules. Like, you wouldn't walk up to a bear and just start, you know, like petting it, you know. So you've got to learn how to deal with these entities. What are the boundaries? What's dangerous? What's safe about them? And same thing. It's a new experience for the whole human race. Well, not new, but it's an experience we've got to learn to deal with.
Heidi, do you think that maybe that the shadow people might be like, let's say, the more experienced entity, maybe? Would you say, like, if you were to put, like, the regular spirit, like, of a person who has died or an entity or an alien, like, if you could put them in order or categorize them, would you say, like, that the shadow people are more capable of doing, like, they're the best at doing, like, what they do, like, popping in and out?
Are you understanding what I'm getting at? Are they the most experienced, or are they the most capable of...
Capable of...
doing what we fear they can do.
Right, yeah, in the order of it, like...
That's a big question. That was good.
Like, I'm sorry, I'm kind of like, I have a hard time putting my words into grammar and crap, but, like, yeah, like, as in, like, if you were to sit down and list down the three that scared you the most in order, one being the worst... How would you, like, list them down?
As far as the shadows are concerned, in my category, they don't freak me out quite so much as they used to. Because I know they have as much power as I give them, you know. And I keep that in mind. If they step to the plate and look me in the eye, you know, type of thing, it's like I don't even feel that vulnerable with them anymore. What they're capable of, you could categorize them as being one of the biggest, baddest dudes out there in our lovely universe. In fact, the beings that I've had contact with, the more positive alien beings, and not just alien, you know, I say alien because people, you know, something that doesn't look quite human, but, you know, some of these beings are, I'm suspicious, are very much the same beings that were spoken of in biblical times, you know, angelic-like beings. And they speak of the shadows as being what we call demons. They are capable of literally influencing people, and not just people, but other beings, other alien beings. And a lot of the reports that you're hearing about, you know, abductions and what they're doing to people, I mean, these are not pleasant things going on. And these were, these more invasive type alien beings were the ones I was experiencing trying to get access to me. I hadn't been abducted or experimented on. But it, those are the beings that these shadows were influencing, because when the greys or, and other beings weren't able to nab me, they sent their boss in to try to get at me, to scare the crap out of me into silence or something. And that was my experience in dealing with them. That, you know, it's like, okay, once one guy is out of the picture, then they send in a bigger, badder form. But there's still a little bit more to be learned about the shadow people and who actually pulls their strings. And that's part of what I've been working on, this new research, I guess you could say, that I'm learning about, that I'll be able to talk more in depth about it another time. But there's just...
That sounds interesting, too, to figure out who's pulling their strings.
Well, like I wonder how said. High up the ladder it
yeah,
goes.
Yeah, how far
exactly.
Does it go right to Satan himself or what, you know? or whoever that
question.
Being might be. Yeah.
Good question. But, yeah, if we're now starting to get involved with going up the chain of command, I don't think I even want to know what's next. I mean, because if this thing had had some, the one that I had seen had any, you know, nasty intentions, it could have been watching us for weeks, and we would have had absolutely no clue until
it could have broke loose from the posse or
and
whatever.
And it could have done some damage, and it could have done gotten somebody alone, and
right.
You know, did anything. But yeah, because it was real. I mean, it made noises as it ran. So I mean, it had some physicality to it, and so it was here in our physical world, you know, affecting physical matter.
I have a question about the shadow people. When the one that you've seen, Doug, and the ones that you have seen, Heidi, do they have like dimension to them, or are they like flat like a shadow?
No. You know, the ones that I've seen, oh gosh, you know, the shadow spiders have dimensions to them. The more shadow people that I've seen, they seem more flat, transparent. In fact, the first one that I'd ever seen, he had to be anywhere from 8 to 10 feet tall. He was just huge, and he literally came for me, wanted to get me as bad as he wanted to be. I mean, I don't know. He was terrible. But something, though, that I wanted to address, though, Carmen, that you're mentioning in regards to your increase in activity since you've been involved with Ghostly Talk. It's a phenomenon that happens with people who've gone to my UFO and paranormal discussion group, too, that, you know, they could just have a curiosity of something, and they'll come into the meetings, and they're like, you know, I never had anything happen to me until I left your meeting, and, you know,
right.
I've seen UFOs and this and that. And, you know, I think sometimes when people's awareness is raised, that they start paying attention more, and that not only are they paying attention more, but the other side is paying attention more, too,
and
knowing who knows what. And with knowledge comes responsibility. It's something that people need to know. It's like, if you don't want to know, don't look into it, because it will look into you.
And you know what? That's so true, too, Heidi, because when that happened, I was like, this is it. I'm done. You guys, whoever's here has to leave. But then I still was thinking, I wonder what it is or who he was. Or
you kept that one thread of curiosity.
I don't really want it to be gone. I want to know. I want to figure it out. And it's so true, too, that it's like you really sincerely in your heart really do not want it to happen. And I do. I do. And they're looking at me like, you're
too.
A liar. You're not. You don't mean it. So let's hang out a little longer.
Yeah, they do.
But that's interesting too. I think it's too. It's like if you're going to, like, I've always believed in ghosts. Okay, I've always knew that there was something going on, or that, you know, I always believed in. I was open minded to it, and I think with doing ghostly talk, exactly what you said, it opened my mind. But it's also too is, why would somebody want to, like, communicate with you if you're not even acknowledging them? Like, maybe, like, all along that this guy was in my house trying to make himself noticed, but I'm ignoring him. Just like if you were talking to me and...
But you were tuned into something else.
And I ignored you, you'd eventually just not...
But then again, there's other things going on, too, because look at the SETI program, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence or whatever it is. They're scanning the skies constantly. Any radio telescope things? Anytime they can possibly buy on those radio telescopes, they're buying the time. I mean, they want to analyze that. So they're listening whether or not anyone's transmitting. They're listening and looking for that proof, that little tiny shred of proof, that little message, just absolutely anything. And they're spending a lot of computer time and a lot of money on this, and so they're listening whether it's happening or not. Same thing, it works the other way. I mean, if an entity wants to talk to you and you're just not paying any attention to it, it may keep going at it whether or not you're listening.
That's just
right?
Like try throwing a camera in front of somebody and trying to take a picture of them. Most people, don't like their picture taken,
and they put their hands up and they
turn
away.
But there are a few that are like glamour hogs, and that will. Talk,
talk,
talk.
So it depends on what's going on. Yeah,
the individual.
All that conversation off of one letter.
Yeah.
You read one letter, Heidi.
I have more if you want.
Yeah, let's hear the next one. What do we have?
Okay, the next one. This one's a little bit more lengthy, but it's very interesting. Okay, it says, hello, Heidi. I was just on your site looking at the shadow gallery and wanted to write you. First off, I have never seen a full-on shadow person. I have seen tons of streaks. I have been present when others have seen them, and I have had what I suspect to be them bumping my bed at night, or even when I felt like a person climbing or stepping on my bed. He puts in parentheses, my wife has had the same experiences in bed. I also can say that these sightings and experiences have been occurring on an increasing basis, but this is not why I'm writing you. I wanted to tell you about my best friend's experience. I am not saying his name out of respect for his privacy. About 12 years ago, my friend and I had become involved in a church, a regular church. Nothing odd, like some cult or anything. One night, my friend was in bed and was just falling asleep when he felt something touch either him or his bed. I cannot remember which. When he woke up, the shadow with the glowing red eyes was looking down at him. He immediately sat up and looked right at it. Then the shadow slapped him. That's right, it slapped him. He said his face hurt for quite a while afterwards. At that, he sprang out of bed, ran down to the kitchen, and called a friend in the church. He told her what happened and asked her to pray with him, thinking it was a demon. It sounds like a demon, as good as any name. I wanted to tell you the story because it is the only time I have heard about someone having a physical contact with one of these creatures. I was also wondering if you know of other such cases. I'm sorry. I mean, that was interesting because just to have a shadow person
slap you,
lean over, and you look at it, and it just slaps you across the face. I honestly have never heard such a thing like that. That one really surprised me. I've heard what Karma had mentioned about the pressure on the chest, but oftentimes, people look over and they won't see anything on their chest, but they'll look over and see their shadow being cast on the wall with something sitting on them or having something choking them, but not for, a shadow person to just lean over and give you a quick slap across the cheek. That was a bizarre one.
That is bizarre, and I would automatically think it would be demonic. I mean,
well,
obviously...
Well, glowing red eyes are quite...
That, but a smack, demonic. I mean...
Yeah,
it's
well,
hurting
I,
you.
You know what's interesting about that is, I had said that's exactly when the one that I had seen it ran away. It was startled and we were startled and it ran very very quickly away, And I heard it running, so I know it had some physicality, in, you know, some measure of physicality in our world here. And
right.
Because otherwise it wouldn't be able to snap twigs and rustle through the grass, right?
Right.
Because this was overgrown grass. And it was also very, very tall. It had to be because the grass was probably, you know, up to a people's waist, you know, and it was not up to its waist. It was up to maybe, you know, below somewhere below its waist. So it was a very tall being. And it ran, and it and I heard it. So I know it's got physicality. So it is possible, I think, that a shadow figure could slap you. But to hear of one actually, you know, slapping somebody, that this is the first for me. That's the first time
right?
somebody gets slapped.
It was almost, I mean, it's not funny, but it was just like, I was really kind of stunned and just kind of laughed a little bit. I was like, wow. You know, I think this is a good example of how the shadows truly don't like to be spotted sometimes. I mean, I'd say most of the times, actually, that, you know, when people see them, they scurry off, you know, as fast as they can. That's typical, except for when they're choking you. And, I mean, when they're choking you, they're enjoying it, and, of course, they're wanting to get a response out of you. But this thing that was leaning over him, I mean, the shadow person, it sounded like he saw it, it didn't like it, it slapped him. Did its first reaction like, how dare you look at me?
Yeah, you know, when you said that, I was thinking, like, of a female, you know, maybe being nude, and then, like, a guy in smack,
yeah.
You know, just... Is it
it
must be disrespectful or something. Like
it must
saying.
Be disrespectful to see a shadow figure.
Yeah, or to look in its eyes. I don't know.
Oh, that could be.
I don't know. I don't want to see one.
No. Well, the one I saw, I just ran away, so it wasn't too evil. But
there
if there was one in my
guys.
Room with me, I'd be like, dang.
Right.
You know,
but you know what? The very first one that I saw, did I tell you about that one? I had to walk through it?
No.
No.
Okay.
Wow.
All together. the first one that I'd ever seen, I mean, this was really prior to my really, really getting deep with the UFO topic or even having seen a ton of UFOs. I had seen some things, but nothing really spectacular. I was living in Iowa at the time, and I was down there with one of my friends walking from her house to her uncle's house. And as we're walking along, and I mean in broad daylight, we're walking, and I saw something, you know, that caught my attention, you know, that was in one of the trees we're walking by, and I looked up, and I thought I saw this dark, shadowy mass. And I'm like, nah, I'm not seeing this, you know. We kept on walking. I didn't say anything to my friend. And I looked back, and this thing is jumped from one tree to the next, and I'm like, okay, I'm seeing this thing, you know, I've got against the dark blue sky, you know, I'm seeing this figure, you know, leaping from one tree to the next, and I noticed it rustled in the bushes, and it, you know, it was just following us, and I'm like, I am seeing things, and I didn't say anything to my friend. We got to where we were going, and after being there for a little bit, we went to walk back to her house, and again, this thing followed us. I mean, tree to tree, bush to bush, and I was just beside myself by the time I got back to her house. And I was just, you know, I said, you know, I've got to tell you, I don't know what the heck I'm seeing, but I'm seeing this thing following us, and I drew it. I drew the, you know, it's like a head directly connected to its shoulders without a neck, you know, physical shadow type looking person. It was huge. And, you know, I'm thinking my friend's going to go, oh, you're crazy, whatever. And I show it to her, and she looks at it, and she leans back. She goes, oh, that thing. I'm like, what are you, you know, what the heck? You've seen this thing before? And she's like, well, it's been following me my whole life. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's just a little too much for me. And I was staying at my friend's house there, and I went to run upstairs to go grab something out of my room. And it was still broad daylight outside. This was, you know, the same day. And I went to go grab something. It was kind of like in the attic-y, like, part of the house. And there's, like, one middle room, and it's completely dark, no windows. And I didn't turn the light switch on. I went into the room that was connected to it, and it had low windows on the floor of the room. So it let in some light. And I went to grab what I needed, turned around to leave the room, and here was that giant shadow person. And I mean, it was just leaning over me, like, I don't know, over 8 to 10 feet tall. It was huge. And I'm, like, looking at this thing, and it's glaring down at me. And all I could think was, you know, I could just sense this thing wanted to kill me, that I spotted it, I spoke about it, and it didn't like it. And I'm like, if I run, this thing's going to get me. If I swing at it, this thing is going to get me. I could just sense if I fought or anything that it was going to get me. And it was blocking my way to get out of the room. And I'm like, Heidi, just calm down and just keep walking. Walk right through this thing because there was no other way to get out. Or I was going to just die of a heart attack right then and there. So
right.
I just walked very methodically and slowly out of the room. And when I got to the top of the stairs, I was just so terrified. I when I started to go down the stairs, my legs just melted underneath me, and I practically collapsed at the bottom of the stairs. And I told my friends, like, you know, that thing is upstairs, you know, and oh, it was terrible. It was terrifying.
Did it feel like it sucked your energy out or something, or was it just from fear?
You know, I hadn't thought of that if it had sucked the energy out of me. You know, people ask me, what did you feel when you walked through it? And I'm like, I was so numb, I couldn't feel anything. I was just, you know, beside myself. And I hadn't thought of that. You know, it's a possibility because I'd never had my legs turn to jello like that, trying to, you know, foot the stairs like that. I could hardly get down the stairs. I was literally crawling along the banister with my arms, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible. But that was my first experience, and I had no idea what I was up against.
But you survived it, so there was no other way out.
Yeah, it was pretty awful, but that was the beginning of a wonderful relationship. Now they can't stand my guts because I'm talking about them and, you know, educating people about them and how to get rid of them, you know?
How do you get rid of them?
You know,
I know it's probably
the number one thing that I tell people is to have no doubts that you can get rid of them. Because the second that you have a doubt, like, oh, I'm defeated, they're going to get me, you know, then they have as much power as you're giving them, you know. It's a matter of standing your ground without getting angry, without getting fearful, but just to be bold enough to say, I can do this. And, I mean, prayer is no joke. It works. They don't like anything positive. They also don't like any light. So, they're a lot stronger at nighttime, so that's why it is good to have some kind of light on at night, whether it's down the hall or what. You know, they don't like any hint of light. And
so don't let them feed it. You know, like, don't feed them anything, basically, is what you're saying. Like, don't, like, you're going to be scared, but not.
Yeah. And
not, like.
They feed off from your fear.
And that's really tough to do, like, because when you're in bed, you're supposed to be safe and sound and tucked in and, you know, resting. And then when you wake up and something's on your chest or something, you know, it's easy to give the fear out because
right. You're
supposed to be safe at that time.
You're most vulnerable when you're sleeping, and that's why they are the cowards they are to come in the middle of the night to get innocent people like that. That's why that's the number one place that they're found, you know, in your room at night, and people say, oh, you're dreaming. You know, it's a great cover. They don't like to be spotted in the daytime or, you know, when you're fully conscious. That's why they book it as fast as they can to get out of your sight, like, oh, crap. You know, with knowledge comes power. They don't want that.
I can tell you that the whole thing with the light and everything, I sleep in my living room because my bedroom freaks me out because it's too dark in there. Mm-hmm. I will sleep on the couch. I have my little torch light. I have it dimmed enough to where, you know, it provides enough light, and I sleep with my TV on. I have to have it on. I cannot.
Come on, you're starting to concern me now. You've got to take ownership of your room. They don't pay the rent. Kick them out.
But it's so cold in there too. I don't like how cold it is. It's like the coldest. I mean, if I keep the door shut, it's like you can see your breath in the wintertime. It's that cold in my room.
Oh, okay. Then, all right. Then
so it's other things too.
If you have a heating problem, that's something.
But that's the only room, and I've shut off the little things to put the bathroom to send more.
Heat,
and that is the
dog.
Only room that's. But yeah, I first admit that I do not sleep at night. If I sleep, I doze off for a half hour and I'm right back up because I have, like, I feel like something bad's going on around me, or like I have these dreams and or it's crazy. I don't want to talk about me, but because we've talked about this before, but like I've had people that are dead that I know are dead that come to me and ask me how they died. You know, so I'm kind of like, and I can think to tell them when I'm like when sleeping that, oh yeah, you got electrocuted. Oh, okay, and then they're okay with it and they leave. I think that's really weird because when I was younger, I would just dream and it would just be a dream. But it's like I can interact now and it's really weird. And it's since Ghostly Talk. Mm-hmm. I would have got it.
Uh-oh. Ghostly Talk has changed your life. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Not for the better. Well,
no,
I don't know.
No, it is.
It could be for the better because at least you're learning and interacting and you're doing stuff that we don't get to have the opportunity to do.
But I'm learning and that's the thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people do die confused about what happened, what took place. So you're, you know, giving them a service.
That's true.
Yeah, I look at it that way. But then when I wake up and then I'm freaked out by it, I'm like, oh, my God, so-and-so just came to me. And it's like, it's just weird for me. But
I've got one for you. Something strange that's been going on with me for like the past year or more. I have a lot of, you know, lucid dreams and everything of helping people with a lot of strange situations and a lot of times like good over evil type things. And it's really, you know, I kind of kept it to myself. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I see these people distinctly and I know what I'm doing, what I'm helping them with. And I've been getting people writing me saying, my God, I've never met you before, never seen you before, but you were in my dream, and you helped me with this and that, and I remember.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just floored. I mean, I just had a soldier from Iraq write me saying the same thing, and I am just like, oh, my God. You know, what's going on? It's one thing to dream something, but to have somebody find you and say, hey, I've seen you. You helped me with this. It freaks me out.
That's
a bit.
Amazing.
You know?
Well, that sounds like group consciousness.
Yeah, is that the form of out-of-body thing that we discussed?
Well, it could be
bit?
Part of that, but it's more, I think it's group consciousness kind of thing where supposedly, you know, the human race and things like that can access each other, you know, through this group consciousness. And that's really interesting because some people have predicted that the you know, humans are going to, you know, evolve to the next step relatively soon. You know, it takes millions of years to evolve, but, you know, eventually you've got to say, oh, now we've evolved, right? We've had, you know, something happen, and now we can do this other thing. Like, humans don't have tails anymore, but we have tailbones, you know. So, I mean, so what happens is that, you know, you evolve, and there's got to be a next step, and what they're saying is the next step is more spiritual.
And
having to do with the connection, interconnectedness of all humans and all things, right? And so it's going to be more spiritual, and it sounds like that's, Heidi has an example of that right here.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
I don't feel worthy for the credit, though, of that these people have given me with some of these letters that I get. I'm like, wow, you know, I don't even know what to say sometimes. I'm like, I'll just go to the next email now. What the heck? What do you say to that? It's like, you know, they're just pouring their hearts out, and I'm just like, wow, you know, I'm just speechless. I just don't know what to say.
See, now that's interesting because I still think you're the hardest working woman in the paranormal field, and then you're still helping people. So there you go. That's just more to that title, I'm telling you. I'm impressed. What's next on your plate? What do you? Because we have 8 minutes, so that's why I'm like, what's coming up next for Heidi Hollis?
The next thing. Well, I have my second book. I was really close to just publishing it when I got the interest of a larger publisher, and I'm still waiting to hear, you know, what they're going to do with it, so... And that book is based on holy encounters, Jesus encounters. And actually, you know, I'm on my way to actually move to Australia in a couple of months. I don't know if Scott shared that with you guys.
No, that's so cool.
Yeah, I'm going to move out there. I was planning on being there for at least a year, but I got contacted by a new studio out in California that was looking to have me host a show, which I've been down this road before, and it didn't happen, so we'll see if this one happens this time. It would be very cool if it does, so I would be back in June to do that if it goes through.
Good luck on that one.
Yeah, good luck, because I can't think of anybody I'd rather have hosting a show. I mean, although, I have to say, I think Amanda Tapping is doing fantastic with Proof Positive.
Yeah. I still think you have a better voice than her. The first time that I was here that you were on the show, I think I told you, you have a good radio voice.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you did tell me that. It was very sweet of you.
And I'm not saying that you just have a radio voice, but you have a face for TV, too. So.
Yes, you do. Whereas I have a face for radio and a voice for being an author. So there you go. But I'm still on the air every week. So, well, not next week, because we're going to be in away.
Away. Yeah. You almost gave it up.
I know.
But I'll be in Michigan, though. So.
Yes. So you've got several things coming up yet. You've still got your websites. Let's name off a few of them. I know about Alien Advice, and then you mentioned, and yes, it was UFO to you, right? Or did I do that one wrong?
UFO. Oh, no, UFO the number two and the letter U.com, and then there's Jesus is No Joke, which is my Jesus book. And one thing that you guys got to promise me, you two got to keep in touch with me. I talk to Scott all the time, but not you two. Why is that?
Because he blocks us.
Yeah.
He says that I'm lying totally.
Yeah,
but
we're
I was just
going
to say that you're all his. He doesn't want none of us to have none of you.
He's very territorial about you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're his guest. He got a hold of you. No.
No, we will, because I really do think you're doing just awesome things. But usually I can just talk to Scott. I'm like, Scott, so what's going on? And he's like, oh, well, Heidi did this and Heidi did that.
And I talked to Heidi and, no.
Oh, my God.
I learn a lot on the show, but I really have learned a lot tonight, especially with the shadow people. It's a topic that's came up before, but I didn't feel comfortable asking because everybody else is already at par and I'm under par, but I got to ask the right person about it, so.
Yes, you did.
So now I know a little bit more about shadow people.
How many books do you have already published?
I have just the one. The second book I'm trying to get out right now, and then I'm working on my third, which is halfway done. So I have a lot more I want to do, too, though.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
That's why I'm going to Australia. I'm just going to write my buns off.
And, well, I can't. Australia fascinates me anyway. But when you're there, you've got to ask about local folklore. Because I like the folklore. I like the stories about... What's the story about the... everybody has one of these, at least here in the United States, where there's like this guy who lives under a bridge and...
Troll? No, I'm kidding.
They call, oh, my gosh. No, troll is a good one. But no, usually it's a high school kind of story. Why can't I think of the name? Oh, my gosh. It's, like, so common, I can't even see straight. Well, all right, never mind. But everybody has these stories, these local folklore stories, and that just absolutely fascinates me. And I wonder how it's different.
Kind of like the boogeyman.
Well,
have you ever, like,
we have
studied
boogeyman.
The boogeyman, mm-hmm. How it came from, like, it's like a tribal word and a spiritual. I mean, I went on the website for boogeyman. It's for the movie, and I mean, they tell you like how the boogeyman evolved and the tales behind it, and how it got to present day.
Oh, I remember the name of the one that everybody knows, or well, some people. I don't know if it's prevalent where you are, Heidi, but well, it's not a very politically correct name. So pardon me on the name. I didn't name this legend, okay? Someone else named the legend. It's called Luke the Spook.
Wow.
Okay, you've not heard of that?
No, I haven't heard of it either.
Okay. The story around here is, anyway, is that there was this high school student who was a very slow learner, okay, so on, you know, not very academically gifted.
And picked on, probably.
Picked on a lot, yes, exactly. And the parents didn't like or even want this, want him. So he basically... would, you know, like, be at home only to, like, eat or get stuff or put stuff. But other than that, he was gone all the time. And it turned out he would live under the bridge. There's always a bridge involved, and it's not a road bridge. It's the bridge that is part of the driveway to his parents' house.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Oh.
So what would happen is you would go and try to walk on the bridge, and Luke would jump out and scare you and try and push you off the bridge. Okay, that was what he did, I guess. I don't know. So what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to wait till nighttime, that kind of thing, and then go and start jumping on people's bridges, I suppose.
But try to get pushed?
I guess. Or to see if Luke was there, then tease him, I guess. I have no idea.
You can go first.
That's what you're supposed to do when you're in high school. And I've heard of that legend not only here in Michigan. And here in Michigan, by the way, it's supposed to be on Romeo Plank as you drive up north of Hall Road.
Okay,
somewhere up there, before it turns into Omo Road and stuff. So somewhere in between Omo Road and Hall, there's supposed to be this house, and it's got a bridge kind of thing. Not huge bridge, but a bridge, you know. And he just hung out there all the time waiting for people to come, and he would scare them.
So it's like where like a culvert kind of runs? Is it like a ditch?
And that's the local legend. And evidently this happens throughout the country.
So
because I've heard other people mention that same legend. So there's like these little legends, mini legends that go around, and those are the things that absolutely fascinate me. So local folklore.
And the best ones are the little villages, like where Holly goes.
Right. Well, that's the thing is. You would think that places like that, and not so much Israel.
Heidi, I'm sorry.
You said Holly again.
See what Scott did?
Scott's got that on our brains. But, yeah.
It took me all the time. That's okay.
Yeah, but I was straight with it until Scott started calling you Holly today.
Right. But what happens is when you go to, like, smaller villages kinds of things or things where perhaps cable TV, people aren't, you know, brainwashed or anything
right.
like that. They've got time and they can play cards and they can
tell stories,
that kind of thing. It must be even more rich than what we have here, you know, with internet and CNN and all that stuff. So that's why that fascinates me, Heidi.
So, Heidi, you'll have to go down there and talk to some of the locals and then get like a little notebook thing going.
Right. Well, I've got a better idea. I mean, you two are both officially invited to come down there anytime. I'm inviting everybody and their mother to come down and visit me while I'm there. So come on down and we'll go and explore together, okay?
Oh, that sounds absolutely fantastic.
And what was the time? What was the time slot on that? What month?
You're going down to Australia in a couple months, right?
In a couple months, right?
Yeah, in April. Mm-hmm.
In April?
April.
Wow.
And you're staying for 6 months or a year?
It depends on that.
I think I'd be in there for a year, but if the TV show comes through, I'll be back in June. So,
okay.
I mean, and then Israel, I mean, I'm serious. Wherever I go, I mean, anybody's welcome. I mean, just come on, hang out. I don't care. Especially if you're into the topic of, you know, this weird stuff. I love it.
Excellent.
That's
well,
awesome.
With that, Heidi, we've got to call the show because it is 9 o'clock and we have to make way for W Paranormal.
Yes, they're right on our heels.
They're right on our heels. So
great.
Thank you very, very, very much, Heidi Hollis, for coming on the show. Your website is, of course, alienadvice.com, UFO2U.com, and JesusIsNoJoke.com. Right?
Yep. Thank you guys so much. It was a blast as always.
Thank you.
I learned a lot.
So, yes, with that, we have to close the show. So join us again next week on Sunday night from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And with that, I'm Doug.
And I am Karma.
I'm Will.
And Scott L. is, of course, at work. So we'll see you not next week, but the week after. Listen up to W Paranormal next on Pioneer. True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever.
We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from the Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.